Welcome to The Juice Today, an audio edition of The Juice that lets educators and parents stay informed about what their students are reading.
Welcome to The Deep Dive. We're cutting through the noise to give you the insights you need in The Juice. Let's get started. Let's unpack this first article. This one's about the future of transport.
So this piece reports that Elon Musk's Tesla has launched a limited robo-taxi service. It's only in Austin, Texas for now, and it's just for early access riders in a specific, like, geofenced area. And importantly, these cars still have human safety monitors inside.
Okay, so not fully driverless yet.
Not yet. And what's interesting is, despite the hype, Tesla's actually, you know, behind competitors like Waymo. Mm-hmm. Waymo, that's Google's company, they've already done over 10 million fully autonomous rides.
Wow, 10 million?
Yeah. And Tesla's also facing federal investigations because of accidents with its semi-autonomous tech. But get this, their stock still went up 8% right after this Austin rollout.
An 8% jump, really? Yeah. Even with the safety monitors being behind Waymo, that's fascinating. It really makes you think, doesn't it? How much is perception versus reality?
Absolutely. The market reaction seems, well, maybe not entirely rational based just on the current tech. It highlights how powerful narrative and perceived potential can be in the tech world.
Definitely a glimpse into the near future. So for students, this could spark some really interesting chats. You could ask them something like, would you actually feel comfortable riding in a car with no driver? Why or why not?
That's a great starting point. Gets them thinking about trust and technology.
And then maybe push a bit more. What do you think are the biggest potential upsides, the advantages of self-driving cars for society? And, you know, what about the downsides, the challenges? Okay, let's switch gears now from robot cars to the ocean. This next article really surprised me. It's titled Orcas Use Tools, New Footage Shows.
Oh, this is a fascinating one. So new research is showing orcas, killer whales, in the Salish Sea doing something called allokelping.
Allokelping.
Yeah. Basically, they've been seen fashioning, like, shaping and then using lengths of bulk kelp as tools.
No way. What for?
Well, biologists think it might be for a couple of things. One is grooming. Orca skin is apparently quite sensitive, gets scaly.
Ah, okay. Like a back scratcher, but made of kelp.
Sort of, but maybe even more interesting, this tool use also seems to help build and maintain social bonds within the pod. They often see related orcas doing it together.
Wow, so it's not just functional, it's social too.
Exactly. It suggests, you know, a deeper level of intelligence and social complexity than maybe we fully understood before. Self-care and social connection through tools.
That's incredible. It really makes you reconsider what intelligence even means, doesn't it? Outside of just, you know, human terms.
It absolutely does. We often think of tool use very pragmatically, like chimps getting termites. This seems different, more nuanced, maybe even cultural.
Yeah. Okay, so for discussing this with students, you could ask, what other animals do you know that use tools, and how do they use them? Make some comparisons.
Good idea.
And then, building on this orca discovery, what does this discovery tell us about animal intelligence? About social behavior, does it change how you think about other animals?
Those questions encourage that critical thinking about the natural world and challenge some assumptions. Fosters empathy, too.
Definitely. Okay, next up, we have something about resilience. It's a quote of the day piece featuring the incredible Serena Williams.
Right. This one focuses on a really powerful quote from her. I really think a champion is defined not by their wins, but by how they can recover when they fall.
That's good.
Yeah. And the article, of course, highlights her amazing career, 23 Grand Slam singles titles, dominating women's tennis for, well, decades.
In that quote, how they can recover when they fall. That hits home, I think, especially for young people navigating, you know, school, life, friendships, all the ups and downs.
It really does. It shifts the focus from just winning, which society obsesses over, to inner strength.
For discussion, you could ask students, what does that Serena Williams quote mean to you personally? Can you think of a time you or someone you know had to recover after falling?
Making it personal.
Yeah. And then maybe broaden it.
Yeah.
How can athletes like Serena Williams be role models? Not just for sports, but for their character and actions off the court.
Those kinds of questions help kids see role models as, well, whole people who navigate challenges and stand for things.
Okay, our next article digs into a really big shift happening right now.
Yeah.
How we get our information. It's titled, Social Media, AI, Online Video, Overtake Legacy News Sources for Americans.
Yeah, this is based on a new Reuters Institute survey, and it shows a pretty significant shift. More Americans, especially younger people under 35, are now getting their news mainly from social media, online videos, even podcasters.
Podcasters, huh?
Yeah. And for the really young group, under 25, about 15% even use AI chatbots for news sometime.
Wow. AI for news.
It's a big move away from traditional news outlets like TV news or newspapers. The trend seems stronger in the US, and particularly among right-leaning audiences who often view mainstream media as biased.
This feels really crucial for young people today. They're swimming in this complex information environment.
Absolutely.
The big takeaway seems to be the risk of like echo chambers and misinformation when you move from edited news to algorithm-driven feeds.
Right, the curation is different or absent. The survey shows this generational divide and the growing role of these new, often unregulated technologies. How do we ensure critical thinking?
Exactly. So discussion points here seem vital. You can start simply. Where do you usually get your news and information? And how do you decide which sources to trust?
Getting them to reflect on their own habits. Good.
And then maybe, what do you see as the potential good things, the benefits of getting news from social media or AI? And what are the big potential problems or drawbacks?
Yeah, that encourages that discerning approach. Healthy skepticism, but not just cynicism, cultivating media literacy.
Right. Okay, let's shift to international relations. The next article is Trump hails collective NATO member pledge to spend more on defense.
Okay, so this covers a development within NATO, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. The member countries have collectively agreed to boost their defense spending target, aiming for 5% of their GDP, up from the previous 2%.
That's a big jump.
It is. And the article notes former President Trump hailed this as a monumental win since he'd been pushing allies for years to spend more.
Right, I remember that being a big theme for him.
Definitely. However, the article also includes criticism. Some view it as appeasement, and they point out the new target doesn't fully kick in until 2035. Plus, there are questions about whether it's feasible and how exactly defense spending will be defined under this new agreement.
So it's complex. It's not just a straightforward agreement.
Not at all. It touches on this tricky dynamics between national interests and collective security.
It's a great chance to talk about global issues with students, you could ask. Why do countries even form alliances like NATO? What are pros and cons?
Yeah, understanding the why behind these partnerships.
And maybe, when do you think it's really important for countries to work together versus times when maybe they need to focus on their own priorities?
Good question. It gets them thinking about the complexities of geopolitics beyond just simple answers.
Okay, last article for today. And this one is genuinely inspiring. It's called Ultramom Wins 62-Mile Ultramarathon.
Oh, this story is incredible. It's about Stephanie Case. She's an international human rights attorney and also a new mother. And she won a 62-mile ultramarathon in North Wales.
62 miles.
Yeah. And what's just amazing is that she breastfed her 6-month-old daughter, Pepper, three times during the race.
During the race.
Help.
She carried her supplies, paused at checkpoints, and received no other help. And this was after a 3-year break from competitive running. She overtook elite runners. She said it shows motherhood doesn't mean giving up your passions.
Yow, just wow. That is some serious determination.
Isn't it?
It completely challenges ideas about what parents, especially moms, can do. It's not just winning a race, it's pushing boundaries.
Definitely. Redefining balance or sacrifice in parenthood.
Yeah, showing that personal goals can fit alongside these huge new responsibilities. It's not always either.
It really makes you think about societal expectations versus personal fulfillment, doesn't it?
Okay, great discussion potential here too. You could ask students, what's something really important to you that you'd want to keep doing, even if life got way busier or more challenging?
Connecting it to their own lives. Nice.
And then, thinking about Stephanie Case, how does her story maybe challenge or expand your ideas about what's possible for parents today?
Yeah.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive for today. We really hope this overview of these articles from The Juice has been valuable for you, parents and teachers. So thank you so much for joining us for this special deep dive. We hope these insights help you connect with young learners in your lives and maybe spark even more curiosity.
Until next time, keep exploring and keep questioning.
Thanks for listening to this overview of The Juice today. Students read these stories at their own reading levels to improve their comprehension, vocabulary, critical thinking, and more. Learn more at thejuicelearning.com.